Hello and welcome to Grace Unscripted, where we share stories of the people in and around Grace Church without any script, just real, raw conversations about life changed through Jesus. I'm your host, Audrey Wallace, and today our guest is Logan Higley. And Logan shares a very vulnerable story, a very deep and dark story that ends in so much brightness and so much love. He uses the phrase radiating passion. So as you're listening, just imagine this same voice ending with radiating passion. And one of the things that stood out for me with him is his focus on there being no coincidences. You're going to hear some things that sound like coincidences, but when you know that there's a God that loved him and pursued him throughout all of the things that he goes through, you'll see why he lives believing that there are no coincidences. Logan, welcome to Unscripted.
Hey there.
Hey there. Well, I'd love to get to know you. You know, sometimes a stranger walks in the door to the recording studio, and that's what's happening here today. So thanks for trusting me with your story, and let's jump in.
Yeah, absolutely.
So did you grow up in the Akron area? Where's your story begin?
So I grew up south of Akron, and it's called Ritztown. It's like right by Ravenna. It's basically a highway, a little place like ever really.
There's a Cracker Barrel.
There's a Cracker Barrel.
Right at the entrance.
That's like the main thing. There's a Giant Eagle. Yeah. It's just the highway, basically.
Oh, and a giant medical school.
Yeah. Yeah. Humongous.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, cool. So grew up in that area. So country town.
I would say like country adjacent, because it's right by Ravenna too, so it's like getting towards more like urban, but then like there's Atwater right there. It's like right in the middle of everything.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So what kind of stuff did you get into as a kid?
So as a kid, Ritztown, living with my great-grandparents, my mother came from a not-so-great place. Without like getting too into stuff that's not my business to tell people, there was like abuse towards like my mother and my grandmother, and thank God she got out of that situation, both of them. So I was at my great grandparents with my mother. First memory I ever had was literally my mom getting the snot kicked out of her, basically. That's pretty rough.
Wow.
But as a kid, just like normal kid things, moving forward, like memories after that were happy with my great grandparents. My mother worked a lot. She was in school. She was working overtime. So she was doing what she had to do to make things better for herself and for me. So, great grandparents being older, as I became like a teenager, I kind of went off the rails a whole lot. Not listening very well. I'm very hard-headed. I'm stubborn. If I set my mind on something, I'm just going to do it.
That's one of those skills that can really be used well, and it can really be a detriment to us.
It can go both ways. There's no in between at all.
Yeah, exactly. Determination, you might call it. Stubbornness, you might call it. And I'm sure it's been a strength and a weakness at different parts of your life.
Radically, yeah. Mm. Absolutely. With that, like in high school, just, I didn't do well. I didn't respect authority very much. So it's like, if I didn't like the teacher, I basically didn't listen to a word they said.
Yeah.
And it would frustrate them, cause I would pass the test, but I would refuse to do homework at all.
One of those like naturally bright, but like not engaged kind of
thing. Yeah. Okay. Completely unengaged. I basically wanted to play music and drink and smoke weed and chase girls around. And that was like all I wanted to do. I didn't care about school. I'm like, I'll just do the bare minimum to get by, and I'm going to do what I wanted. I actually ended up, I ended up dropping out of high school and just getting my GED, just because it was like, why am I? I'm not paying attention. Why am I here?
Yeah.
If I can just pass these tests anyway, then like I might as well, like the GED is just the test. I might as well just pass.
Sure. Sure. And again, I hear initiative. I hear going out there and getting what you need. So again, could be good, could be bad. But so did you do that early? Were you younger when you completed it, or to get your GED like that?
So I dropped out junior year, and then I didn't get my GED until I was 23.
Got it.
So okay. I was just doing whatever.
A dark zone, perhaps.
There was a zone where I was doing nothing productive. I would even say destroy. I was just basically partying.
Okay.
It was
working on and off as you're trying to get jobs and things like that to afford that lifestyle as well. But wow, 100%. Okay. And that was still local. Did you move out and have your own place or bop around from place to place?
I was still with my, at the time I was with my mother. My great grandparents died when I was 14, and that was a big cause of me going off the rails.
Okay.
So with that, like, they were, I'm trying to think of how to put it. They were like the example of like what parents were supposed to be in a way. Cause like, I just had my mom and she was gone a lot because she had to be, she was working a lot and she was in school trying, like I said, trying to make her life better. So I really looked to them as being parental figures. And when they died, I was just, I don't know what to do with all these emotions I'm feeling.
Yeah. 14 for a boy. Oh my.
Okay. Yeah. And so a lot of it is just like my mother not having energy to deal with me and me having a lot of energy that I need to deal with.
Were you an only child?
I am an only child. One big thing that was positive was I've been in martial arts since I was 12.
Wow.
And just like having positive male role models being there, like, really brought me in a little bit, where they would hear me going off the rails and they would just tell me like, you're being really stupid.
Okay, so hold on. What I know about martial arts is discipline, respecting authority, falling in line with a whole group of people.
I had to do a lot of push-ups.
Yes, I am. I'd imagine so. But also in a certain environment with something you care about, with a teacher that you respected, I'm guessing.
You were a completely different person. I was a lot different.
Yeah.
Where, like, if... So the teacher, me liking them, if I disappointed them, that meant something, versus teacher I had nothing in common with, or I just didn't respect for whatever reason. It mattered a lot.
And working toward a goal that you cared about as well. Yeah. I'm guessing there was some form of a belt or a status of some kind that you were trying to earn and keep. So it's a completely different thing. Interesting. So that's where those same principles, the determination, the stubbornness, all of that to fixate on a goal probably came in handy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. Okay. Was there any form of Jesus, God, church, religion in the mix?
Quite the opposite. So like I would refer to my grandparents. My mom is more like agnostic. Like, she believes in God, but doesn't like necessarily care or like say who that is. My grandparents all believe in Jesus, but I wouldn't say necessarily follow Jesus. Like, they don't go to church or anything. I'm unsure if they've read the Bible before. I'm sure they've read parts of it, but I'm not sure how much they've gone into that.
Okay. So for you, did you have any friends that invited you to VBS in the summertime, or a neighbor that took a liking to you and took you to church or anything like that? Or this was literally a void for you?
It was literally a void in my life.
Yeah.
And I went the exact opposite way when my great grandparents died. So part of that was watching them lose their mind was tough. So like, my great grandmother had dementia and I'm sure other things wrong with her. I think like Alzheimer's maybe.
Yeah.
And she forgot basically everybody, but like, there would be moments of clarity where she would come back and then she would be gone again. And that was
very
killer.
Very confusing for a teenager.
It hurt so bad. And then great grandpa, shortly after my great grandma died, he got cancer that spread to his brain, and then he had to be on medication, and that was just a double whammy of confusion for him. So I think part of me dropping out also was like, I was taking care of him because he couldn't figure out where the bathroom was. So I was helping my mom with that on top of her being in school and working and all this stuff.
It's a lot of responsibility, a lot of force to grow up real fast.
And before he really lost control of his mind, he gave me a Bible and he asked me to read it. And I ignored that until after he died. When he died, I was very, very mad. And I don't have like an exact moment of when I just decided it was nonsense. Like it was just something in my head was like, I don't want to believe in any of this. Like I don't want it in my life. I'm sure it was something I read online at some point in time. But I decided it was nonsense before I even looked into it, basically. And I read the Bible and I would read and then I would search as to why it was nonsense. And it was at that exact lens. And I did that with like other religions too, where like I would look into them just to like, I suppose I was looking to be like intellectually honest or something.
Okay.
But I would do largely the same thing where I'm like, I like this part of it, but like the rest of this is nonsense. So I got to the point where I was I guess you could say like an evangelical atheist, where I would literally argue people into the dirt, where like if we were in argument, I wouldn't stop until you just gave up, basically. Mm-hmm. Like it didn't matter what I was even saying.
Mm. Wow.
It literally got to like a point in the rabbit hole where I did not think Jesus was even like a historically real person.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it got bad. And it was just all from like just being online in the wrong place.
And finding articles that agreed with your thought processes. And
that was huge.
Added to it. I mean, that's, we hear about that all the time. Like it's agreeing with your thoughts and reinforcing it and then keeping it, you called it a rabbit hole. And I imagine that would be. Now, is this in that like 14 to 23 year old window?
I would say until like 25, mm-hmm. I got tired of just arguing with people. I was like, this is serving me no purpose, but like, I still don't believe in God or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that is nothing in life was good. So even when good things were happening to me, it was very noticeable that nothing good was happening, is like how I would put it. So a thing I said to my mother before, and like I regret ever saying this because it like she did not like that I said it, was when good things happen to me, I'm just waiting. It's to let me know so I can realize that like when something bad happens to me, like it still hurts. Like you need that like context where it's like, if it's just bad all the time, it doesn't hurt anymore.
Sure.
But if you feel something good and then you get punched in the face, it's like you feel the punch in the face more.
Oof.
Yeah. So
that's a deep feeling for a person to experience. Yeah. And I am a mom. So, and I have a teenage son. So I'm thinking like, oh, to hear that from your child would be very hard to hear and to even experience it. To think that way, that's the only reason for good. And even there's probably, I don't know, good is kind of a word to be defined anyways. Like what is good? How do we define it? How does God define it? But like for anything good to happen, just to be a shoe that's about to drop on the other side.
It's just like always ready, like something's about to just like ruin everything. I can't be comfortable ever.
So you can't experience the joy of anything.
Yeah, there was literally no joy in my life whatsoever, pretty much until recently, I want to say. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So how does a young man in 23, 24, 25, you quit debating at least, but probably still didn't have joy, still in the dark place. What else? What happened next?
So it culminated a couple times, unfortunately, where I decided I was going to take my life. And three times, the last one being the one that really mattered, because like it was a distinct turning point where I was going to end everything, and I'm sitting there. So what happened before then was like, I had moved out and then a bunch of bad stuff happened all at once, where like I broke up with the person I was dating at the time. I lost the place I was living at. I lost my job and my dog died.
No way.
And it was all at once. It was all in like 3 months.
Have
I'm like, oh man.
Writing any music about this stage of your life.
Right. So I had to move back with my mom, and I'm just like, I this isn't going well. Nothing's ever happening that's good. So like, it was always a thought in my head that I would just like, I didn't really plan for life because I didn't expect to be here for very long.
Mm-hmm.
I've had The way I put it is like the only thing I possessed was negative thoughts, and that started when I was like 8 years old. And I don't like I have no there was no reason when I was eight. I like nothing bad was happening that I can recall. But like that's when everything kind of started. It was just constant negativity for whatever reason in my head. And then so I'm outside because I didn't want to like leave my body inside of my mom's house, basically. So I go off in the woods somewhere and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to count down and then I'm just going to do it. I'm not even going to think about it. And it's like 3, 2, and then my phone rang and I stop and I'm like, my phone doesn't ring. It's been on silent since I've had a phone at like 10 years old. And I look, it's my mom calling me. And I answer the phone and she just has a normal conversation with me and she wants to get dinner with me. And I get off the phone with my mom and just tears, just crying. Like, I can't believe I was about to do that. And then I have dinner with my mom and I just decided I was like, I'm going to live. Like, I'm just going to deal with all this nonsense. I'm going to decide to live. And then from there, it was just, I wasn't looking for God, but like he demanded it. I guess he was just like, you're here for like a reason. I'm keeping you here for a reason. I didn't get like the choice. So part of that was I need to get my act together. So, I'd lost my job to COVID.
Okay.
And I was like, well, I'm just going to go into school. So I go into school. I do really well in school.
What were you studying?
Cybersecurity and information assurance. I got a bachelor's in 2 years.
Nice.
Got a new job, lost that job again, or lost the job. During that time, I would, for whatever reason, on YouTube or Instagram or wherever, I would see random pastors, just like a bunch of them. And I would listen, but the distinct difference was that like nagging, like wanting to argue thing, voice in my head was gone. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, it was like my heart was softer. Mm-hmm. is a phrase I keep hearing. Mm-hmm. And I was just willing to listen to what they had to say in good faith. Like, they're not trying to hurt me with what they're trying to say. And then stuff was making more sense. I kept listening. And then time goes by. I'm working, going between jobs, getting new employment, etc. And I'm friends with some people on the safety team here who I practiced Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu with. And
you were friends with them then at the time?
Yeah. I was friends with, I've been friends with them for probably like, Nate for sure over 10 years. Wow. And then Cindy probably like 5 or 6. Maybe more than that. It's hard to tell. Time kind of like mushes together a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't like pushy in any way. They were firm in, we like believe in Jesus, we don't want to argue with you, because they were around a little bit for the argumentative stage, but like they weren't, I'm not going to argue with you about it, this is where I'm at. And then randomly one day, almost 2 years ago now, this is my second year being at Grace, I just out of the blue asked them, like, can I come to church? Like,
really?
Yeah, just out of the blue, out of nowhere. I was just listening to, like I said before, listening to random pastors. I was doing that for a while, like probably 2 or 3 years, I want to say. And then I just broke down. I'm like, I need to go somewhere.
So is this like a closet pastor listening? Like, you weren't bringing it up to the people around you, or you were talking about it?
I wasn't talking about it. I was internalizing everything, where I would take things I had heard previously and I'm like, why was I wrong specifically? Because I knew that in the past, I had been very arrogant and selfish and not realized it. And I was like, I think too much about myself. So I need to figure out where I've been wrong to like reverse this, basically.
Not something that personality type does very naturally or easily.
Yeah.
Without natural divine or supernatural divine intervention, I'd say.
Right. So I was taking great strides to attempt to be humble. I had this weird thing where I simultaneously thought very highly of myself, but also thought I was garbage.
Isn't that the craziest thing?
Yeah.
And you like, I think a lot of people can feel that way and feel like they're the only person that feels that way, which makes you feel even crazier and probably not want to talk with anybody about it. Mm-hmm. That's wild. Okay.
Yeah. Lost my train of thought.
2 years ago, you started to talk to these folks about, all right, I need to go somewhere local.
I didn't even talk to them about it. I just flat out said, can I come to church? And they were like, absolutely yes.
That's the no-brainer moment that they have been praying and waiting for, I'm sure.
And with that, I'm very uncomfortable. The only other time I had been in church was at a wedding. So I wasn't there very long and I was very uncomfortable the whole time.
Wow. Hold on. We need to hear that again.
Yeah.
You'd only been into a church one other time for one wedding.
For a wedding.
Ever in your life. Mm-hmm. And was it a Catholic church or do you remember anything about that experience?
I remember it was my uncle's wedding. I don't know if he is Catholic or what have you. It was a very Catholic looking place. Mm-hmm. I would say there's stained glass there. It was very beautiful.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure exactly what their beliefs were or
anything. Or what touched you or anything from that. Yeah. Okay, so you come to Grace, this building we're sitting in right now.
So coming to Grace, even though I had friends here, I didn't want to feel like I was alone still. So I invited other people who haven't gone. My best friend, Robbie, has been a Christian forever. Didn't really go to church too much. He did when he was in the military, but not too much when he was up here. And I just, after I sent the message asking them if I could come to church and then saying, yeah, that's cool, I immediately sent him a message and I asked him to go to church with me. Mm. And then he was just like, yep. there was nothing else. He's like, just send me the address and I'll be there. I'm like, okay. Wow. There's another friend, Nathaniel. I asked him to come as well. And then he basically, same thing, was like, absolutely. He was looking for the church to attend at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We show up. I'm very nervous. We start walking to the front door and then I see another one of my friends, Shane, and we kind of do if you've seen that Spider-Man meme where he's pointing at him like the other Spider-Man where it's like, hey.
Everybody's pointing at everybody.
Yeah. It's like, hey, I know you. And then he comes over and we chit chat and he just randomly decided to show up to church.
No way.
He had never been here. I think he knows people here too, but we didn't communicate that.
Oh my gosh.
And funny enough, that happened a second time with him where we both accidentally took the baptism class at the same time.
Oh, wow.
And just us showing up to Grace at the same time, in my head, I was like, coincidence is not real. There's no way he should have been here. Mm. And it just blows my mind every time.
And that you would have walked. First of all, we have 5 services, 2 buildings.
Same time.
Secondly, you walked at the door at the same time.
We parked at the same time. Oh my gosh. Basically, yeah.
Wow. Okay. So
that was mind blowing.
What do you remember about that first day?
I walk in and my mindset is I am going to be open to what they're saying. Mm-hmm. But I still don't know where I stand with all of this. And I don't remember what the service was about. I remember relating to it a lot. I remember Jeff telling a story about his past and relating to that. I forget exactly what he was talking about, but I just related to Jeff a lot. There was a... I'm remembering little bits of it where he was talking about everyone lands on a sliding scale of either you're over here and you were abused or you're over here and you were neglected. Oh, yeah. And then Robbie was, he just after service, he had tears in his eyes and he was like, I think I was abused, bro. And I looked at him I think I was neglected.
Oh, Yeah.
And like, we just had this like moment of like realization, and like there was like a bonding moment there. Mm-hmm. But there's been like countless moments of that. The thing that comes to mind is, this is, I've been attending for a while after, just mm-hmm. the next thing that came to mind was, Jeff was mentioning like what it was to love somebody, and he had like three ingredients of it. I'm trying to remember exactly where they were, but or what they were. It's you need to care about them, you need to be sympathetic to like their issues, and you need to be sacrificial. And there was a situation with my mother where, I'm trying to like think of how to put it without like putting your business out there, but where she would ask me to help her with something, and I would go out of my way to help her with it, and then the same problem would show up again. And before I had gone to Grace, I had flat out told her, I'm like, this is the last time I'm helping you with this. If you mess this up again, you're just going to have to deal with it. And then he had that talk about, you need to love them, you need to be sympathetic to their issues, you need to be sacrificial to them. I'm like, I completely took away sacrifice from my mother. Mm-hmm. I'm not loving her very well. And I called her that day, and I was like, I don't want you to help me with this. I'm just coming over. I'm just going to help you. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to fix it, basically. And then
living like Jesus lives.
Yeah.
Because how many times does he sacrifice, mm-hmm. serve, and forgive us?
Yeah, right. And doing that, I saw a lot of change in my mother. I don't want to get like too far into like things going on with her, because that's just not my business to tell, but it's just awe-inspiring. She's almost completely different with like things she's been struggling with. So I'm very proud of her.
Mm-hmm. Has she joined you at Grace ever?
She came to my baptism. I asked her back once, I want to say, she hasn't been back. So mm-hmm. probably have to pester her a little bit.
Yeah.
She did enjoy service a lot.
Well, if you're listening to this, we invite you. Come and sit with us. I'll sit with you. Oh, that's wonderful though, that you experience change yourself, that then you were able to love differently, that is then going to be received differently by family that you love as well. So is there, you came that first time 2 years ago, you're surrounded by friends, you're impacted by the message, you come back right away. Did you feel life change right then?
Oh, I've been here every Sunday basically since I started coming. If I miss, then I still attend the online. It's one thing to just like be there and listening, but it's another thing to implement the advice. 'Cause it always like resonates me every time I come here. A thing that just came to mind was, I had the thought that church was super boring when I was growing up, for whatever reason, like having never experienced church. I think it was just like media, and like coming here, I'm like, I really enjoy being here every time I'm here. Like, I look forward to Sunday every week. I lost train of thought. I feel like you asked me a question.
Well, just like, what ended up, how you kept coming back. Mm-hmm. You haven't missed that when you answered that part of the question, but also like, was there a significant turning point? Was there a day or a time that like Jesus literally got a hold of your heart, or you just kind of like, you know, match lit and you slowly burned through, you know, how did that work for you, for Jesus to literally transform your life, and the Holy Spirit to enter your heart?
Yep. So you actually just reminded me of it. There were two separate times, one before I came to Grace, one after. Part of me, like when I was in between jobs, this is like the second time when I was in between jobs, I was door dashing. I'm very stressed out. I don't know where I'm going in life. I don't know if I'm going the right way. Ever since I've been alive, basically, because I work in technology, that the industry has been just trashed, especially with advancements in AI and everything. So like, future was not like, I didn't know where I was going, basically. So I'm stressed out. I'm overthinking everything. I'm a delivery driver, not making very much money. Mm-hmm. All my money basically goes to the bills in my car. Mm-hmm. I'm still in school at the time. And then I'm teaching martial arts on the side. So I have a full-time job. I'm door dashing like 10 hours a day. I have a part-time job. I'm in school full-time. I'm just very busy, lots of stress.
Sounds like your mom when you were young, yeah. You know, like trying to make it.
I learned from the best. Mm-hmm. And then as I'm driving, I had to pull over because I felt the like overwhelming like sense that like my great grandma was hugging me. And just like the center of my chest was just like filled with, it just felt like love, right? At the time, just having no experience with Jesus or anything, my brain was like, well, my great grandma didn't stop existing just because she died. So God's real. Mm. Now I'm like, that is Jesus giving me a familiar feeling so I can go in the right direction.
Feel his love through mm-hmm. something that was familiar.
Exactly. I felt that again after I started coming to Grace. I had finished school. I had gotten my current job. I was waiting on the confirmation, but it was basically a done deal. And I just, out of nowhere, I was on a walk. I was actually disc golfing by myself, just trying to like go through emotions. I was anxious. I was second guessing my decisions and like basically every decision I ever made. I was saying like, why do I deserve to like have these good things happening to me? And then I felt that feeling again of my grandma hugging me, but then it got like way more intense. And I was like, that's Jesus. That's for sure Jesus. It was very humbling. It almost felt like I ran into a brick wall, but like it felt like a hug. And then I crouched down, I was kneeling, I started praying and crying. And then after I was done with that and just in the middle of the woods, I started to walk, I continued disc golfing. And then six dogs, which are my favorite thing on the planet, came out of nowhere with like their people, and they let me pet their dogs, and I like threw played with them a little bit. And like, I'm thinking about them. Like, I don't know if there's anybody in the parking lot with me. There's like houses around, so I'm sure they came from somewhere. But at the same time, I'm like, what are the odds that the most comforting thing I can think of would come out of nowhere when I'm just
six.
Yeah. Right.
Oh man, I think that God knows us so uniquely and so intimately, and he's just so kind.
Yeah. And there's no coincidences ever. Just every time I feel that, I'm like, there's a reason that this is happening. I just need to figure out what it is. Sometimes it's really obvious, and then other times like it's more subtle, but I don't believe in coincidences anymore.
Mm-hmm. And I also think that there's an enemy that really hates growth and freedom.
Yeah.
And that cloud of nothing good can happen to me, that cloud of even if there were something good, it's only to make me feel worse in another day. That is the enemy. He's not creative. Yeah. He doesn't have a lot of tricks.
Yeah.
And uses the same one over and over. But still, it can trip us up. And for you to have those break, like those heart breakthroughs, like I'm just imagining beams of light shining from your chest as this hug is happening. And to feel that, it's like the enemy has to flee because the Holy Spirit is present. And he has you, and there's no room for Satan anymore. And he had this cloud around you for so long, but it's gone.
Yeah. That's funny you mentioned that too. So I actually had this conversation with my friend I mentioned earlier, Robbie, where I still listen to the random like priest or preacher or pastor or whatever, just online. I like to hear multiple different mm-hmm. opinions. And he mentions that the devil, demons, whatever, they absolutely hate it when you don't take them seriously. And I was like, I'm going to absolutely start doing that to see what happens. And I still get those random thoughts of like, I will be walking down the street and all of a sudden my brain or my mind, it's not me. I know it's not me now. Will just say, hey, you should kill yourself. You should jump in front of that bus real quick. And I'm just like, I will say out loud, really, you're trying that again? You don't have anything better? Like, yeah. That's not going to happen. Sorry.
Yeah. You can identify that. And then as you speak that out loud to others, then it really deflates itself. Yeah. It's like, well, dang, I can't keep him trapped anymore. Yeah. And if you speak it and bring it to light, then it really, yeah, it has no power. Yeah. It's no power. He must flee. The Holy Spirit is so much stronger and has victory.
Yeah. It's amazing. Saying like a little prayer too helps a lot, where sometimes I'll be really bogged down by those thoughts and it'll literally just be as simple as like, in the name of Jesus Christ, leave me alone.
Yes.
Please leave me alone. Yes. Like, you're not doing anything. Like, it's not working. Go away.
Yeah. And
it's just gone.
There, you know, there's a lot of worship songs that talk about the power in the name of Jesus. And it's real. Like, the name of Jesus is, and his blood is the highest currency of anything in the history of time. And it bought you, it bought me, it bought our souls, and gave us absolute freedom. And yeah, you speak that name and that's where the power is. Okay, so for 2 years you've been coming to Grace. How is there anything else that you've seen in transformation in your life? You mentioned you brought two friends with you the first day you came when you weren't even convinced yet. So yeah. I imagine your evangelistic tendencies that you used at one time for atheism and now for the Lord, like, what does that look like for you?
So at the time, I didn't even think of that as being like bringing them to Jesus. But like, I see that now. I mean, Robbie's known me as an atheist my entire life. I'm sure he was like, my atheist friend is telling me to go to church. I need to go to church. But I just wanted to be surrounded by people because I was very unfamiliar with where I was going. In a past life, I was very just socially anxious. So I've been to college two times. The first time it took me a month to make a phone call to go to orientation because I was so nervous about making the call. And now, like, I'm in Zoom meetings with random people I've never met before all day long, basically. So it's there's a million and one things that, like, I'm just a completely different person.
It's transformed.
Yep.
Absolutely transformed. That's amazing. And anything you've gotten involved in at Grace, any classes or serving or groups of guys stuff, what are you up to here?
So when I first started going, part of like me trying to keep my mind open was I'm just going to do stuff and see what happens. So I forget the man's name, but he, I'm sure he's on staff. I know he's on staff. I'm just, his name's escaping me. He just came up to me after service one day. It was like, we're doing discovery, do you want to come do that? And I was like, I'm actually busy today, but when is it happening again? I promise you I'll be there. Mm-hmm. And then I went to that next one. Mm-hmm. And they mentioned something about the it's like predetermined yes to things. I'm like, I'm gonna keep that in my mind because I've kind of been doing that already. I started going, I decided I was going to be baptized. I go to the baptism class and the person leading that, is on the safety team. I'm sure Cindy said something about me, or I actually think she mentioned she said something. And then afterwards he's looking me up and down and he was like, so, what else are you doing on Sunday? And I'm like, what do you got? And then he mentioned, he was like, I'm friends with Cindy. She's told me about you. Would you like to help us out on the safety team? We could use you on Saturdays. And I was like, yes. Mm-hmm. I'm not thinking about it. I'm like, I'm just going to say yes.
Put it to practice right away.
Put it to practice. It's been helping me a lot so far, just putting things into practice.
Mm-hmm. Well, the safety team comes with a crew, right? Mm-hmm. From what I see of the safety team, it's just like, it's not just a way that you serve. It's a community that you enter into, people, like-minded people in many ways, and mm-hmm. probably get some friendship out of that as well.
Yep. Lots of good people on the safety team. And it's been one of the most, like, it's very simple, but it's been one of the most impactful things I've done. I mean, we're keeping the most vulnerable people at Grace safe. Like, the biggest thing is making sure, like, no one who isn't supposed to take the kids takes a kid, right?
Yeah.
And that it's just humongous. It's very impactful. Mm-hmm. And I'm just happy that mm-hmm. I'm there. So
awesome. That's great. Did you go through any other courses, classes? Did you do Rooted? Any bringing people alongside of you? Anything else?
Yep. Right? I did Rooted. my girlfriend. Actually, she's my fiance now.
Congratulations.
Appreciate it. That's another thing I thought would never happen. We went through that story. Yeah, we can tell that.
Tell us a little bit more about that.
So part of that was like I had just given up on that completely. Service came to mind. I think it was recently where they were speaking of just like keeping your eyes on God.
Yes.
And just like being willing to sacrifice things that you enjoyed. Part of my youth was partying and chasing women around, and I was just, I'm done with this completely. I'm ignoring all women. I had already given up like drinking and partying beforehand, but I was like a big vice for me was women. I'm like, I'm done with this completely. And if one that fits should enter my life, I am open to it, but I am looking for Jesus. I'm not pursuing. Yes. I'm looking for Jesus.
Yes.
Okay. Basically is where I was at. And then literally not long, I said that as a prayer, basically. Not very much longer after that, I met Casey, just online. And it was eerie at how easily she fit into my life. Like, we like the same things. We're not exactly the same, but like we complement each other really well.
Mm-hmm. The recipe of a great relationship.
Yeah. And I'm just, there's no coincidences. Mm-hmm. So keeping my eyes open, looking for like any reason to, I don't want to say like any reason to get rid of her, but like I was trying to like, I was almost in disbelief.
You're vetting it. Yeah. Yeah. You're just making sure. Yeah. Right.
So, and I couldn't find anything. She's the best. She's a major blessing on my life. And I literally asked for it, and I couldn't be happier with it.
So happy to hear that. Okay. So you were starting to tell a story about your girlfriend and then corrected to fiance. We took the side quest.
Yeah.
So let's go back to that if you remember.
So we did Rooted together. She was in another group. She wanted to meet new people. She's very social. I'm very not.
That complimentary thing. Yeah.
Complimentary. So she's off, actually with my friends, Cindy and Nate, that I mentioned, and that was completely accidental. Like nobody planned that. Mm. And then I'm with Robbie and his wife and John and, Sonny Gresick. Sonny and John, I know from Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. That's another one that like, he had never brought up like what he did until I was about to come to church.
Wow.
And then like Cindy brought it up, and he had mentioned that he was a pastor before, but like he mentioned he kept it on the down low. And then Cindy had mentioned that he worked here. And I'm like, okay, great. It's just, I just know all kinds of people that come here. Just like, it's incredible. Yeah. So we did Rooted together. That was an amazing experience. It made me like realize things about myself. Like I said before, where like I completely thought that I was amazing and better than other people, and simultaneously thought I was literal garbage and didn't deserve anything. I found that out about myself at Rooted. I forget exactly like what we were going through. I think it was literally, I don't remember the word. It was like the way
the strongholds.
The strongholds. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Like they just mentioned what they were, and it just came out of my mouth, and I was like, I never realized that about myself, and it's not something I had to think about. It just came out of me.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So yeah, Rooted was amazing, and we still do it. So if anybody's listening to this and they're saying, oh man, I wish I could find out what my strongholds are, you still can. So look for that coming soon at Grace. I'm sure they'll keep doing rounds and rounds of that. But curious if you were to talk to somebody that might be listening that is not convinced, is an atheist, is questioning, what would you want them to know? What would you say to them based on your experience?
The first thing that came to mind was that you are loved. The second thing that comes to mind is to just give it a try. Like, you're not going to lose anything.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I kind of mentioned earlier, like, probably could have some good song lyrics based on all these facts of your life. But we do have a playlist for worship music. I actually want to ask them about that first. How do you like the worship music at Grace? Is that an experience for you? How do you like that here?
That is a massive thing that keeps me coming back. I love the service, just the whole thing. But I've been a musician since sixth grade. I've played a variety of instruments. I still play. And the amount of passion that the band has, every single person, even though like they switch people out, just like you can really sense it. My fiance cries basically every service because of the band. She loves music too.
Yeah.
And just her feeling the passion radiating off of them for Christ just really strikes her in the heart.
Mm-hmm. I can relate to that so hard. Like sometimes I have to just close my eyes because I just naturally close my eyes anyways a lot while I worship. But if I open my eyes and look at the band and watch them feel the music that they're playing, especially if it's a young person who maybe I used to have in like Bible camp when they were little, or I know their mom and I'm thinking they have a mother somewhere here that's watching them. I don't know. There's so many emotions tied to it. But I love the way you said that they're just irradiating their passion through their worship. And then we feel that as a gift. And that is literally a gift that they have. And then we can like worship together and it just all, you know, illuminates the room and the space metaphorically. Yeah, so beautiful.
Absolutely.
I had wanted to ask you about your musician stuff too, because you mentioned that in your teenagers. That's really cool. Like guitars, drums, that kind of music? Or are we talking trumpets, violins? Like what are you into with music?
I play bass. Big, massive metalhead. I still play metal.
That finally has come out. Yeah. I can't believe it waited this long.
Yeah. That is because I like very extreme, like fast technical music. And like, it's something I've prayed about because I like death metal. And it's a lot of it is like blatantly satanic. Right. And something like I prayed on, and I go to concerts with my fiance and stuff. And I found myself in enjoying music that I was listening to previously, and then it got to the song that I know is specifically not cool. And I just stopped. I mean, I like, we have to like get out of here. Like, we just literally went to a different section of the concert for a little bit, like where we couldn't really hear the music. And then like I noticed they stopped playing that particular song, and I go back and I'm like, okay, this is fine again.
Yeah,
because a lot of it is just like kind of like a horror movie, if you think of it that way, where like there'll be deep topics, a lot of it's negative. But what I like praying on it, what I really enjoy of it most is just the musicianship, because it's just classical music that's sped up and more aggressive, basically is how I would put it. So like, usually if I'm looking at a new band, I'll read lyrics first, and then I'm like, this isn't something that's awful. I can enjoy this. Previously, like other music I listened to was like gangster rap, and now I can't even go anywhere. Like, it's just like, ugh.
Yeah, that's discernment within your spirit, right? Yeah. We should do this with television, with movies, with music, yeah, with media of any nature, where we watch something and we say, my spirit is unsettled with this. I don't think I should be consuming it, because what we consume, yeah, is going to feed our minds and feed our hearts and our souls. And if we're consuming that so much more than we do any service, any Bible, then the outweighing, yeah, has an impact on us that can drag us back into dark places, yeah, and give a stronghold back to the enemy.
And there's a surprising amount of Christian metal too.
It is shocking. Ask you about that.
There's a lot.
You got to get in on that.
Yeah.
Take some of your life and turn it into music, yeah, man. Do you, yeah, write music?
Right now, I'm getting my chops back. There was a portion where like I had to, where I was working a lot. So I had to like, it was still there, but I played, yeah, probably 20 minutes a month. Mm. Now, if I get a break at work, like I'm playing again. So like I'm learning music. I'm getting more into, yes, theory and stuff. So I'm open to the possibility.
I can see, yeah, this. I can, yeah, see this in your future. Start writing lyrics, man, and watch it happen. That's amazing. Okay, so I've started by saying that we have a worship playlist for Grace Unscripted. So for anybody listening, you go to Spotify, you look up Unscripted Worship, and we have a playlist there, because everybody's story can be put to music. Do you have a song to add to our unscripted playlist?
I do. It's definitely not a death metal song, so nobody or I could.
Some diversity. Yeah, sure don't have any death metal yet.
It's
on the list.
It's a little more aggressive than like what would normally be on there.
Okay.
It's I would call it hard rock. It's okay. If you ever heard of Flyleaf, it's it's their singer. Lacey Strum, Strum, I believe is how you pronounce her name. The song is Wonderful.
Okay.
And
tell me more about Wonderful and the hard rock Lacey.
It doesn't sound like it would be, but it's an amazing song. I don't want to like spoil any of it, but if you are going to listen to it, I would also recommend that you watch the music video because it's very impactful.
You know, that is a pro tip on worship music. Not every song has a video, but those that do, man, I recently was kind of texting with a friend that was going through a hard time and I started to send the Spotify link and I was like, wait a minute. And I went to YouTube and found it there. And I said, actually watch this, read, watch, listen, feel, let it like turn it up, let it reverberate in your chest a little bit and let it really sink in. So Wonderful has a good music
video. It has a great music video with just amazing imagery. I'll spoil it a little bit.
Please do.
There's a person with a mask and a crown and they're like very like regal looking. They walk up to something that is covered up with a cloth. They uncloth it and it's crucified Jesus and his head is a mirror. She looks in the mirror and she sees that her face is basically like a zombie and she's shocked. And then as the song goes on, like goes through this little journey and then the person she was is literally burnt away. And then just a large, like Jesus comes back bigger, just gold glowing. And then like she's restored and it's just made me cry. You cry really hard.
Half hour or so that we've been chatting. Yeah. I can see why this is meaningful to you. Wow, awesome. Okay. Well, we will add that song to the playlist for sure. Looking forward to listening to it myself. Mm-hmm. Any other final thoughts? Anything you feel like we didn't cover yet or you just want to leave with our listeners?
Thing that came to mind when we were talking about Rooted, where we went over the strongholds, another thing that came up that I thought was super impactful was the opposite of that. I'm trying to remember the exact wording of it, but it was like your spiritual gifts. And I remember talking during that process. And I'm like, I don't know what's happening to me, but I have empathy now. Beforehand, it was just like, I was just selfish. The only thing that mattered was like what I had going on. Whereas now, like, I'm trying to think of like a good example. I see people like in pain or struggling and I just like start welling up. Like I've never cried more in my life than these past like year and a half. And it's just like part of it like bothers me a little bit. I'm like, am I going soft? The answer is yes, but in a good way because like it needed to happen.
But when you're weak, he is strong, and then you're stronger than ever. The ending is good.
It is good. I still have like the reflex where I'm just like, oh, I should, but it's like, no, it's good. I need to lean into it. But it's there are times where I'll see someone in need, and I'm just, if I don't help them in a small way that I can, my rest of my week will be garbage. Mm-hmm. And I just like I can't help myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like your mom, you gotta reach out even though it might be 1, 2, 3 4, 5, 7 times, you know, just continuing to extend that and that grace, that faithfulness and giving, generosity, selflessness. All those things that don't come naturally to us, but they can when we have a spirit that is going to drive that for us.
The more I do it, the better it is too. A big part of it is with like my fiance, she's renovating her house and like, I'm not handy, but I'm super strong and I'm willing to learn and I have a positive attitude about it. So I'm just like, whatever you need, like, I don't care. Like a big thing I'm doing now is like fishing. I love fishing.
Ooh, peace.
And She's very concerned with interrupting my alone time, but I'm like, we're getting married. If you need me to help you with your house, I'm going to do it. Like, it's fine. I can go fishing some other time. And like she returns the favor. It's not like I'm just completely sacrificial and she's just taking it all. Like she goes out of her way to help me out too. So it's good.
That sounds like the beginning of something beautiful. Wonderful. Well, thank you, Logan, for sharing your story with us, for being vulnerable with us. And I think there's just so much hope that I hear in all of this and the way that God can transform anything and anyone. And like, I mean, you shared some really deep and dark spaces with us and decisions that you were considering. And but God was with it. God was with you. And he was faithful. And now it's just growing, transforming, and into eternal purposes. If you're hearing this story and something is resonating for you, there's so much here that can resonate for you. We want to talk with you. If there's something that questions you have, struggles that you're fighting with, you're not doing that alone. So we have an email address, unscripted@graceohio.org, and you can reach out to us there and we can get in touch with you either with one of us or with someone on staff, because Grace genuinely cares about each person and we want to help you have the same freedom that we're talking about here.
I think it's important to realize that he was there, because a thing I used to tell people was just like he wasn't, but that's not the case. I was blind, deaf, and dumb. And I was, the way I would think of it is like someone with their fingers in their ears just going la, 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 not listening. But the whole, like, as I look back on things, the entire time he was there, and I just refused to like see it. I said in my baptism video that like he's very loud, but you're required to listen. He doesn't force you into anything.
Because it's got to be love. It's going to be choice.
Yep.
That's so good. And I think we all can reflect on that no matter where we're at in our faith. Absolutely. If we have it, if we don't, if we're thinking about it. So thank you for sharing.
Appreciate it.